So David, this is going to be our 8th year attending Comic-Con together.
That's true. That's true. I know that. I did the math immediately. yeah, and I remember it was 2010 was the first year I met you, because 2010 was also the first year that I kind of tried to do Comic-Con without, like, I went down to San Diego by myself because my then-girlfriend, now-wife, didn't come until the second half, and Tyler, my co-host on Battleship Retention, had never been at all at that point. And so I went down there kind of nervous, like, am I going to, like, have fun these first couple, like, days by myself? And, like, yeah, preview night, I met you for the first time, and I had a blast.
Did Tyler come that first year? Or that in 2010?
Oh, you know what? You're right. That was his first year. Okay. Maybe you're right.
I can't remember when I met him first, but it must have been that year.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was.
So you're excited? Comic-Con is a week, we're like 1 week away from day one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I am excited at this point. I've been doing the things that, as a, you know, as a nerd, the things that get me excited for Comic-Con, which is like obsessive scheduling and list making.
Yes.
So I have like 3 different lists of like what panels to see. Like, mm-hmm. I've got my master list, uh-huh. and then I've got my like, here's what I think will be good for Battleship Retention to cover list. Uh-huh. And then I've got my list that's like, here's the fun stuff I want to try to fit in list. And so I'll be like cycling through lists while I'm down there. And that's going
to
be a lot of fun.
Like, as you turn the corner and you see the line for the panel that you're about to go to, you can quickly do the math of like, okay, yeah. Well, is it going to be worth waiting in this line, or should I go to my backup?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's something I learned very early on in comic. You know, this is like you said, it's my 8th year since I, you know, have known you, but it's my 12th Comic-Con, and I learned pretty early on to not be too beholden to any one schedule.
Yeah,
because that's a recipe for frustration.
Yeah, I have gone through the schedule app on Comic-Con's website, and I've checked a bunch of the panels that I want to go to, but. You know, I have many conflicting ones at the same time.
Yeah.
I just feel like, okay, well, if this one seems ridiculous, then I'm just going to go to this one and have a lot more fun. So as usual, I bet we'll go through this discussion day by day, touch on some of the panels that we want to go to, talk about some of the things that we plan on seeing, maybe outside of the convention center, and of course, talk about our meetup, which we always
do. Of course. Yeah.
I mean, we could even get that out of the way now if you want to.
Okay, well, let me tell you about the meetup, Ryan. I know that you know it all, but it's going to be Thursday night. That's July 21st at the Bootlegger. I don't have the address, but...
804 Market Street.
804 Market Street. There you go. It's the Bootlegger. Is where we've had the past 2 years. This is our 3rd year in a row at the Bootlegger. It's our 2nd year in a row being brought to you by Filmstruck. So Filmstruck will be the ones that you can thank for the free drinks that you'll be able to consume from 8 to 10 p.m. Anyone who orders drinks on our tab from 8 to 10 will have it covered by Filmstruck. If you're ordering food, that's on you. But free drinks is not the end of the free shit on our list, because Filmstruck will also be giving out free trial cards, and the Warner Archive guys will be there as co-presenters of the meetup, giving out free discs. So it's the I guess it's the 6th annual BP Battleship Retention Criterion Cast Warner Archive meetup. I think it's the 6th that we've done, all 3 of us.
Yeah, and then before that, it was you guys doing your meetup that we just came to, and then it just turned into like, let's all do this meetup together.
Yeah, so that's what I was trying to figure out with Tyler. We did, before we had like the whole free drinks thing, we did 2 sort of informal meetups, two years in a row at the Tipsy Crow.
Right.
On 5th. That's on 5th, right?
That sounds right.
Which used to be called the Bitter End, but it's called the Tipsy Crow now. And it was already called the Tipsy Crow when we had our meetups there. So I'm not sure why I brought up that it used to be called the Bitter End. Just showing how long I've been going to San Diego, bragging, name dropping. But so that's what I was trying to remember is, I think the 2nd year we did one that was technically an official BP Criterion Cast meetup, but it was just a meetup. There was no free drinks, right?
I do, you know,
Or maybe it was just the Battleship Retention meetup. I'm not sure.
Those years are hazy now. Trying to think back of specific years. I know there was definitely, so 2011 was when Miranda was born, and we there was definitely at maybe even 2012.
So 2010 and 2011 were both at the Tipsy Crow. The listeners love this.
I know.
2012, 2013, and 2014 were at Dublin Square.
Right.
We love them. We love Dublin Square.
Yeah.
It's just too loud for a meetup.
Yes.
But definitely go there. They have some of the best food in the Gas Lamp, I think, provided that you like, you know, authentic Irish food.
I do miss the food.
Yeah.
Now being at the Bootlegger. I mean, the Bootlegger is great, but I do miss the food at Dublin Square.
Yeah, and Bootlegger has really good burgers and fries, so I don't miss it that much. But there was something unique about those Irish dishes at Dublin Square. But now, yeah, 2015, 2016, and now 2017, our third year in a row at the Bootlegger, and our sixth year in a row giving people free drinks. Our second year in a row where those free drinks are brought to you by Filmstruck. So we're building quite a. Our roots go deep here, is what I'm trying to say.
Exactly. I mean, and if you know, don't just come for the free drinks, come for the scintillating discussion of movies and movie-related Comic-Con events, because I really love meeting, you know, our listeners to our show, to your show. I mean, last year I met a guy who had come because of Tyler, I think, but it turned out that he and I were both fans of a different podcast from many years earlier.
Oh.
And we just, like, it was so funny to meet him. And it was someone that I kind of knew based on, like, an old forum that the community was a part of. And it was so crazy that I suddenly connected with this other listener. And that kind of thing seems to happen every year at Comic-Con, at the meetups.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's always a fun time.
So yeah,
so obviously that's the highlight of Comic-Con,
right? Exactly, of course. So that, you know, you can, and there might be people driving down for this meetup, allegedly.
It's happened, yeah.
So, you know, you might get a chance to meet other film podcasters at the event who aren't even going to Comic-Con but are just coming down for the meetup. So Wednesday night, preview night, as usual, we talk about this every year, but there are usually, exclusives that go on sale that night, and then there are the screenings upstairs in Ballroom 20. This year they're showing Krypton and Black Lightning, both DC TV shows, I think. Krypton is like a sci-fi channel also, maybe.
Oh, okay, that I didn't realize. They're all produced by Warner Brothers Television.
Oh, okay.
But that doesn't mean they're on the WB. That's always the thing, that the sneak peek screenings of pilots, whatever, on... they used to call them pilots, but they're not actually all pilots. They're doing three pilots, and they're doing like a Teen Titans and a Unikitty, which aren't pilots. But they're all Warner Brothers Television. Doesn't mean they're all going to be on the same network, but they're all Warner Brothers Television. But yeah, it's Krypton, which takes place on Krypton, you know, a generation before Superman was born. And there's Black Lightning, which is, another Greg Berlanti CW DC superhero show. And then there's Deception, which is one of those shows that is not really a geek-type show. It's like a procedural. I think it's the standard, like, every procedural on network TV, where it's like, this guy's weird, and he's going to team up with a cop... And he's going to use his weirdness to help this cop. You know, everything from The Mentalist to Castle to weirdly Lucifer is that. I don't know if you've watched Lucifer, but it's like, it's a show about the devil, but also it's a show where the devil hooks up with a LAPD detective and solves crimes with his devilness or whatever. So Deception is another one of those, except he's a magician.
Are you planning on going to the screenings, or are you just going to go down and walk around the floor?
I've never gone to the preview night screenings. I kind of want to. I am interested in Black Lightning. I kind of want to, just because I haven't. And also, as I was saying before, it's on my list of things that would be good for the site, because it's always good to have, in terms of, not to talk shop here, but in terms of having a site, it's a website. It's good, like, pilot reviews of shows that aren't going to premiere for months. tend to generate some traffic. Mm-hmm. So it's so I might go for that. And also because this year I feel like for me at least, the exclusives, the Sklusi game is a little weak. My list is short.
What is your short list?
I mean, some of it is like stuff for my wife. Uh-huh. because I always like to, you know, get her, because she doesn't come down. She did 2 years and then she's had her lifetime fill of Comic-Con. So there's some stuff I'm not going to talk about that's like cute stuff that I think my wife will like, but I do like the Entertainment Earth has two or three of Twin Peaks little toys. Uh-huh. One's a little like it's the Twin Peaks sign, but it's like it's sticky and wobbly, and you're supposed to put it like on your computer monitor or whatever at work. And then there's like a log lady like Russian nesting doll, which looks very cool. And there was another Twin Peaks thing. So that's kind of all that's on my list. There's not really, usually I try to buy some comics. Like, usually there's some, you know, there'll be, Image will do some like hard covers of like the volume one trade paperback or whatever like their new thing is that's just come out in trade paperback or something like that. And I'm not really hearing much about that. I think in terms of, I don't know if you read DC or whatever, but like Justice League Rebirth 25 is supposed to be like a supersized issue, and it's coming out the Wednesday of Comic-Con. So maybe, I don't know if they're doing a variant cover or something for Comic-Con. It seems like it would be a natural fit for the 25th issue. But I don't really have any comics on my list to buy. I don't know. What's on your list?
Well, first off, how do you find out about the exclusives? Because I only see them from a few sites, but is there like a centralized place to find out like everything that's going to be exclusive at Comic-Con?
Well, there's, I mean, not to plug another site and podcast, but there's the SDCC blog, which is the unofficial Comic-Con blog that at this time of year is, you know, updating 2.5 pages of posts every day.
Oh, Jesus.
because there's just so much news. So I tend to, you know, skim through that if something, and then dig deeper if something catches my interest from that. But yeah, shout out to the SDCC blog and their podcast, the SD Concast, which is where I get most of my exclusive news.
So I have noticed a few different exclusives that are kind of interesting, but I will almost certainly not buy them just because, even just looking at the prices before people start trying to scalp them, they're already more expensive than I want to spend on things. But there is a Saga toy pack, you know, the comic Saga.
Yeah.
There's the Will and Lion Cat toy that they're going to have. It's $50, though, according to IO9, so I don't know if that's something. But it does look very cool. But there's an Usagi Yojimbo toy that Nickelodeon is going to be selling for $30. It's a little bit more reasonable, but probably still not something that I'm going to actually buy. But that is definitely in my interest area right now.
You're reminding me of a couple more. Well, speaking of expensive things and speaking of Image Comics, there's, I don't know if you read or have read Black Science, but there's like a Black Science statuette that's really cool, but it's $150, and I don't think it's $150, it's just gonna sit on a desk somewhere. And then I can't believe I forgot to mention this one before because it's so cool, but also the same thing, I don't buy like a lot of statuettes because I don't really, I get only so much joy out of looking at them. But is it pronounced NECA, NECA? I don't know if you know them.
I don't know if I've ever said it out loud, but that sounds right to me.
Okay. They're doing a Death from Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Oh, man.
So William Sadler, uh-huh, as Death. And that's only 35. I say only 35, which seems a lot for a little toy. But they're only making 1,000 of them, and I do love that movie. So maybe that'll be the thing I splurge on this year.
I guess finally, as far as toys go, there is a Grand Admiral Thrawn from Star Wars toy that Hasbro is going to be selling, also $50. So,
wow.
Probably not, but it does look really cool. Let's talk about some panels.
Let's do it.
Okay, so Thursday, Why don't you start things off? Are you going to get up early? Are you going to stroll in around noon? What's your plan for the first day?
Normally, I feel like I'll be at, like, Hall H won't be that difficult on Thursday, and, like, nothing starts there until 11, so part of me feels like I could sleep in, except because of the way that Comic-Con does the seating at the Horton Grand.
Uh-huh.
So at 10 p.m. on Thursday, which is right after our meetup, I might have to leave our meetup early if I get into this, Netflix is doing a surprise screening of some Netflix movie. I'm assuming either Death Note or Bright, because that seems to be the movies that they're promoting at Comic-Con this year, but maybe it'll be some other thing. So that's at 10 p.m., but because of the Horton Grand, that means you have to be at the sales pavilion by 9 a.m., to do the raffle for the tickets, because there's a limited number of tickets and they raffle them off at 9 a.m. So I'm going to get up early, I guess, to go to the sales pavilion, which is, for people who don't know, is upstairs at Comic-Con, and try to get a ticket to the Netflix screening at 10 p.m., so a full 13 hours beforehand. So as much as I could sleep in this day after we no doubt party our brains out on preview night, I'm probably going to get up early.
I think I'm going to have to do that on Friday, because there's a Horton Grand Hotel thing on Friday, but we can talk about that a little bit later. But I've never done that. I've never gone to the sales pavilion to get tickets for an event offsite. So, I don't know if it is there no way to get tickets like later in the day if it hasn't sold out, or is it just like they're only doing it?
No,
at night?
You can. I think it's, well, I guess, yeah, if they don't raffle off enough at 9, then I guess you can go later in the day, but I don't want to risk that. And also you can also just show up, because some people might raffle, you know, like might have just been there and done the raffle and got the tickets and not gone.
Uh-huh.
Or also a raffle gets you two tickets. Some people might just be going alone. So you can just show up at the theater at 10 or at 9:45, I guess, PM, because it's at 10 PM. And get in the standby line. That's
just with your badge.
That's the other option. Yeah. Yeah. You have to have a badge, but you can show up at 9:45 without a ticket and hope that enough ticket holders didn't show up that you can walk in.
That's
how that works.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see how this actually plays out, but getting there at 9 is going to be tricky for me.
Right.
Are you planning on going to Hall H then afterwards to go to like the Fox panel?
It depends. See, you know, we talk about being fast and loose, being flexible. The first thing I'm going to do after the sales pavilion is I'm going to swing by the Ballroom 20 line and see if I think that there are too many Battlestar Galactica fans in line already.
Oh man!
Because I would like to be in there for the BSG reunion,
yes.
Which isn't until 2:30, I'd be willing to go in early for that. So I'll probably try for Ballroom 20. If it turns out that, you know, more than what is Ballroom 20 seat, like 2,500 or something like that?
I think that sounds right.
If more than 2,500 rabid BSG fans have been camping out since 6 p.m. on preview night, then yeah, I'll turn tail and head over to Hall H, but I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, that Battlestar Galactica panel sounds pretty sweet, so I'm gonna also try to go to that, but I'm not gonna like wait in line. If it's not full, then I'll go in, but if it's full, then I'll just skip it.
Right. Yeah, I remember, I mean, one of my, because I can't camp out. I've never done it. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem fun to me. But it did mean, what was it? At this point, like 5 years ago, I missed the Firefly reunion for that reason. It was just like you pretty much had to camp out to get into that, and I wasn't doing it.
Yeah, I mean, waiting more than an hour in line for me is almost like a deal breaker for any of these panels. Like, I don't even want to wait that long, like sitting around, not when I could just be in a different panel or doing something else. The first thing I think on my list, the first thing that I really want to go to. So the first thing at 10 o'clock, there's several panels, including the 18th annual animation show of shows. I've gone to this before in the past, and I follow Ron Diamond, who is the kind of founder of the animation show of shows. And I definitely went to it last year, and I'm pretty sure I went to it the year before, but he is just so enthusiastic about animation, and it's always, it, you know, it has been a lot of fun. I like it more than the Spike and Mike festivals, but this one is in Ballroom 20, and so if there is a huge line of Battlestar Galactica fans, then I might not get it, even be able to get into that. So, which, you know, it's not the end of the world, but that is the first thing that I would like to go to if I can.
Well, I'll interject here to say that the 18th annual, this program, they also showed at WonderCon, so I've already seen all of these. So if I do get in line for Ballroom 20, I'll be seeing them again. In most cases, I will be happy to see them again. There are a couple of stinkers in there, but what I'm curious about it being so early in the day, because at WonderCon it was at the end of the day, or it was at least later in the day, because the what happens is they show, you know, it's an hour and a half long. They show about an hour and 10 minutes of them, and then what'd you say his name was? Ron Diamond.
Ron Diamond, yeah.
So then Ron Diamond comes back out and he says, "Okay, at this point, if you have young children here, you might want to leave."
Yeah.
And then the last like four, I think, shorts, and some of them are like, "Okay, there's like a, you know, a claymation penis." It's like it's not going to traumatize anyone, but there's at least one that is like pretty fucked up. So I'm curious to see how that plays to the Comic-Con crowd at 11 a.m.
After that, I think I do have, as usual, the Masters of the Web panel starred on my list, but
Oof, I haven't started that in years.
I do always hold out hope that like I'll go to it and it'll be amazing and it'll like inspire me to want to write more online, but I don't know. And I mean, even in the description, they're talking more about like comic book movies as opposed to just like writing about film online. But there is another film journalism thing that I want to go to, which we can talk about later.
I already know what it is,
yeah.
and it's one of the biggest conflicts for me. We'll get to that when we get to tomorrow. Well, the other thing I'm sure you're excited about this, and I know I am. It's a thing that's if I could double star something on my schedule, it's at 4:15.
Oh yeah.
It's the Batman Mask of the Phantasm remastered and ready for Blu-ray, which is I think brought to us by our friends over at Warner Archive.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So that's not only is it a great topic for a panel, and it's going to be exciting because I love Batman Mask of the Phantasm, as all right thinking people do. But you know, Matt and DW and those guys give are just great at panels.
Yeah, this one is very exciting. This is one where I definitely don't want to miss it, and so I'm considering just hanging out in that room for maybe like a panel or two before it, just so that I
Yeah.
have a good seat, because I don't want to run the risk of missing out on this one.
Well, I wonder, not see now you got me curious. I love looking at what else is in there. Okay, so you're gonna have Robert Kirkman in conversation right before, which
Yeah,
means,
probably a lot
but
of
that's before, which means a lot of people are gonna leave after that.
yeah
But then
the
you got Kevin Smith after. Oof.
I know. That's wait, what is Kevin, how, that is weird that Kevin Smith is, does he not have his own panel? Is he
I don't
doing
think
his panel again this year?
I don't think he's had a Hall H panel for a few years.
Oh, interesting. Well, yeah, that is going to make things really hard for this room. I was thinking that the Rocko's Modern Life panel, a couple of panels before the Batman one, would make it interesting, and also the Justice League panel before that. So maybe I'll even just hang out all afternoon in that room and just deal with the Robert
Yeah.
Kirkman panel, which I'm not that excited about seeing, but we'll see.
No.
Yeah, the Batman Mask of the Phantasm panel, though, that is like I printed out my list of things that I wanted to go to, and that was like the one that I highlighted like with a highlighter, and I was like, okay, this is the one thing that I want to go to because I'm just so excited about the Blu-ray. The Blu-ray comes out, I think, the following week after Comic-Con, but you know, I'm sure they're going to bring footage and talk about how they, you know, dealt with you know, a Blu-ray presentation of this movie that's, you know, been pretty damaged over the years and has had kind of poor DVD releases also.
Okay. Let me just comb through Thursday. There's 20th Century Fox and Hall H, which I'm from what people are saying is probably going to be the Kingsman sequel. as a focus, and you've got Brigsby Bear cast and filmmakers panel, which is fun, that this smaller Sony Pictures Classics movie that Sony Pictures Classics picked up at Sundance, that's actually a very sweet and very nice movie, has a little panel. And Netflix, as I mentioned, Bright and Death Note, they're doing a panel on those in Hall H. I feel like that's the big movie stuff on Thursday.
Yeah. A few other panels that are definitely worth, you know, checking off on your list or like highlighting just in case you can get into them. There's a Mondo panel, also at 1 o'clock in room 7AB. It's, so Mondo, like the folks from Austin who are connected with the Draft House, and they do all of the very, you know, expensive, film prints of movies, like art prints, you know, very collectible. The line at Comic-Con at their booth is always ridiculously long, but, you know, beautiful work. And they're going to have a panel where they have like people like Jay Shaw and Tom Whalen, and Jason Edmondson, like lots of other people too, talking about, you know, their process and, you know, this kind of phenomenon, I guess, that is the Mondo art print poster, you know, culture.
Cool.
The, I guess a couple other, comic related panels that I have starred that I would love to go see. There's a panel on Walt Simonson, the comic artist. There's a Disney Animation Studios panel at 2 o'clock that, I would love to go see and listen to them talk. There's, a science panel about nanotechnology in sci-fi that sounded fun. And then there's also at 3 o'clock, which will make it hard to get into the Warner Archive one at four, but there's this, you know, every year I think they do the, like, this year from the '80s, the greatest geek year ever kind of thing. They're doing it again with 1987, as they, you know, work their way forward with each, you know, consecutive year. So they're going to be just talking about, you know, films from 1987.
Which is what? What are the films from 1987?
So they have
Predator.
Yes, Predator, Princess Bride, Lethal Weapon, The Lost Boys, RoboCop, Spaceballs, Hellraiser, The Running Man. Those are just the ones that they have mentioned in the little description.
Oh, I see it. Okay, yeah. I see the description now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Interestingly, they have the Spike and Mike Festival of Animation at 4 o'clock on Thursday. I know they have the Sick and Twisted on Friday nights, but for some reason I just, seeing this at 4 o'clock seemed really weird scheduling wise. It seemed like this was way too early in the week or in the day to do something like that. But I guess like the animation show of shows is also incredibly early, like you were saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
So one of the things that I have starred after the Warner Archive panel is a Rob Liefeld panel, which, okay. Rob Liefeld, for anyone who might not know, is, you know, like one of the founders of Image, and he did, you know, Youngblood, but before that he worked on things like Spider-Man back in, you know, in his last days at Marvel, and he helped create, or, you know, like worked on X-Force and Deadpool. He was like, you know, the creator of Deadpool. He's kind of a, I feel like he's more beloved now in a way, but, you know, over the years, he has just been like beat up by, comic fans for his, you know, his style of art is just, you know, the, kind of like the epitome of like the things that people now hate about the 90s comic, movements. Uh-huh. Like, you know, lots of pouches, giant muscles, ridiculous guns, huge boobs, small undefined feet. You know, it's funny. He's got so many of those things, but man, like I love following him on Twitter, and I think he, like, you know, I might not really like deep down love his art, but I just kind of like love him as a figure in the comic world still. And so, and I did kind of look up to him when I was a kid reading comics in the early 90s. And, you know, I remember one time, like, just watching him do a sketch, you know, at Comic-Con, probably like 93 or 4, and just seeing him like create this amazing piece of art, like that at the time that I thought was pretty awesome. And hearing him talk about, you know, his influences on him, like Blade Runner, whatever. And he just, he seemed like such a cool guy at the time.
Yeah, I find him really fascinating. I find the Deadpool thing really fascinating because I feel like, here, follow me on this metaphor, because I like heavy metal music, and I remember in the 90s when Pantera was new, and Pantera was like a divisive band like among a lot of like old school metalheads, but then anyone born like after a certain point sort of grew up with Pantera already being in the canon. Mm-hmm. And so now you've got people who are my age or a little younger who have no question about, obviously Pantera is great. And I feel like that's the same time period and the same sort of thing that's happened with Deadpool. Maybe a little younger, a little later, but like, I think there are people maybe my age and above who are still skeptical about Deadpool because he's so 90s. But I think there are a lot of younger, like, teens and 20s comic fans who don't quite, like, to them Deadpool has just always been there and is obviously awesome. There's no question that Deadpool is awesome. And so I guess good for Rob Liefeld that he's, you know, stuck around long enough to see this divisive thing become so embraced.
Yeah, I totally agree. The I guess like a couple of other things that sound fun on Thursday, and one before the meetup, is this European comic panel, and all it's described as like the European comics wave, but it's something that I am kind of like, I don't collect a lot of European comics, but I have read some, and you know, I'm interested in like that style of art and storytelling, so I might go check that one out.
All right. I don't know if you know that the Comic-Con app is brought to you by Midnight Texas, because literally every time I look at my phone, that Midnight Texas ad is back. One person at a time making us hate Midnight Texas.
So Friday morning. Oh, so, you know, obviously Thursday night will involve lots of drinking and hanging out and talking about film at the meetup, at the Bootlegger, 8th and Market. Be there.
Yeah. 8 to 10 p.m. We'll probably hang out longer than 10 unless we're going to this Netflix screening. But the free drinks are 8 to 10.
Yeah.
There you go.
And, okay, so Friday morning, like we were saying, getting up early to go to the 9 o'clock sales pavilion ticket raffle. I really want to go to the Female Voices of Film Twitter panel or event. I guess is, I don't know if it's considered a panel, if it's at the Horton Grand Theater.
I think it's still a panel. It says panelists include.
Oh, that's true.
So, yeah.
So this one is going to...
And part of the reason... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, speaking of panelists include, people we're friends with are on this panel. It's part of the reason I want to go so much, including our good friend Angie Han from Mashable, and Amy Nicholson and... Well, I guess I'm not friends with Jen Yamato, but I like Jen Yamato. I've met her. She's cool. So there's a cool list here.
It is a very cool list. There's this is going to be at 1:30 at the Horton Grand Theater, which is just up the street from Comic-Con. And like we were saying, you need to get a ticket for this. I really have no idea how popular this like event might be or how limited the seats might be, but I really hope I don't miss out on it because it seems like it would be a lot of fun.
But here's the conflict. It ends at 2:30. At 2:45 in Hall H is the Twin Peaks panel.
Yeah, that is. And is that, that's one, like, is that one of your like crossover circles where it's like good for the website, good for you kind of a panel?
It might not even be good for the website, honestly, because I feel like when it comes to just panels that don't like, basically, all that's good for Battleship Retention is if we can review something, if we can have a review up.
Uh-huh.
And so if there's nothing to review, people are going to other sites before they're going to Battleship Retention, frankly, for that kind of coverage. So I think this is just for me. But I'm thinking it will be okay. Like, I don't know that I'll be able to make both panels, but I don't think it'll be that difficult to get into the Twin Peaks one if you line up a panel or two early, because in my experience, Fridays in Hall H, because they do Fear the Walking Dead, which I don't know anyone who likes. I haven't watched it. Walking Dead.
We're still watching it, and it is bad. And like, and I don't. We just keep watching because there's not really that much on TV that we like to watch right now, and so that's just one that we keep watching.
Is the new season on now, or is it coming?
The newest season just ended its mid season finale, okay. So it's like done 8 episodes of this latest season.
And was Anya from Buffy on this season?
I don't know who that is. Which one is she?
Oh. In the show. Emma Caulfield is her name. She was Anya. She was the vengeance demon who then became a human and then was engaged to Xander, and then he broke off the wedding on their wedding day, and she went back to becoming a vengeance demon. Anyway, she's an actress I like, and I heard she was going to be on Fear the Walking Dead this season, but maybe it's in the second half.
She doesn't look familiar, so I don't think she is yet on the show, but okay. Maybe she... maybe it's the second half.
But what I was saying, in my experience with Hall H on Fridays, when they do Fear the Walking Dead, Walking Dead, and Game of Thrones back-to-back, the place empties. Not doesn't empty out, but there's a huge turnover after Game of Thrones. A lot of people have been camping out all night for Game of Thrones. Uh-huh. And so the fact that Twin Peaks is after Game of Thrones makes me think I don't have to line up, you know, at the crack of dawn to get... I still probably have to be willing to line up for an hour and a half, 2 hours maybe. But I don't think I'll have to line up all day for Twin Peaks.
Yeah, one of the problems that I've experienced with in like the last year or two with trying to just sneak into Hall H is like when it's clearing out and everyone's leaving, like they're not letting anyone go into the room because they have to keep that walkway open for everyone to leave. And uh-huh. And it just makes the line, you're waiting for them to open it up because all the people are leaving. They're going to hopefully start letting people in, but they don't do it fast enough. And then you end up going into like, or, you know, you're into the panel like after it's already started.
Right.
And that's so right. Frustrating.
Yeah.
There is another panel in the morning that I'm interested in going to, the Steven Universe panel over at the Bayfront, the Indigo Ballroom. And then also the My Little Pony panel too, which is upstairs in room 6A. But I don't know if I think I'm going to try to go to the Steven Universe one first. There are like the Will Eisner stuff. There's a lot of Jack Kirby panels this year too. And so there's a couple on Friday that I have starred. I don't know if I'll actually end up going to those ones though.
Yeah, I don't actually have Indigo on my list this year, but Indigo Ballroom, it's become a thing now. Indigo Ballroom on Fridays is Cartoon Network into Adult Swim, sort of. They just own that day. And I have more than once spent pretty much my entire Friday in Indigo Ballroom and not regretted it because they put on a bunch of great panels.
Yeah, there's going to be the Rick and Morty panel at 1:15, and I would love to, you know, hang out until then, too.
Yeah. I'm not sure what else is there on Friday. There's some stuff in the evening. There's the world premiere of Batman and Harley Quinn, which is the new DC animated universe. I'm not sure if that's the official name, but that's the DC animated universe film, which Tyler and I talked about this on our WonderCon episode, that like the DC animated universe predates any of the current ongoing like cinematic universes. Mm-hmm. Obviously predates in time, but also blows away in terms of number of movies.
Yeah.
They do like at least, you know, at least a couple a year.
Well, they're going to be releasing
sometimes more.
They're releasing a Blu-ray box set later this year, I think, with something like 30 films in it.
Wow. Yeah. So I'm not I don't know that Batman or Harley Quinn is going to be good, but they do a world premiere. They do one premiere at WonderCon and one premiere recently. They do one premiere at Comic-Con every year. I went to the WonderCon one this year. It was the Teen Titans Judas Contract one, which was pretty good. And then also, speaking of on the late side, why is the Scream and Shout Factory panel at 8 p.m.? It's so late.
It is incredibly late. I'm pretty sure it was that late last year, too. But yeah, late on Friday night is just... got to be one of the most frustrating time slots for them, for me too, because I feel like I have to go to this panel because there are just so few home video related things at Comic-Con that like I can't right. miss out on going to this. And I love hearing them talk about what they're working on and what, you know, what makes, you know, making these Blu-rays so much fun for them. And So I can't miss it. But yeah, like 8 o'clock on a Friday night is just like the worst time for me. Earlier in the day, there is a panel on, there's the Film Threat podcast panel. And, you know, one of the guys who's going to be there is Charles de Lazarica, the guy, you know, one of the, you know, documentarian kind of film extra producers who's worked on a number of home video releases and is just like a, such a cool guy. But I really want to go to this one too, but it's at 2 o'clock and I, you know, I'm probably going to be hopefully at the Horton Grand, theater instead, but we'll see.
Yeah. I'm actually thinking I might, now that I'm looking deeper into the schedule, I might be at the Horton Grand too, because I was talking about things clearing out after Game of Thrones in Hall H so I could get into Twin Peaks. What I hadn't taken into account is that after Twin Peaks is the Netflix's Marvel's The Defenders.
Oh, yeah.
So people might be camped out for that now. So
is there,
maybe
is
I
there
won't...
really, is there really that much in, anticipation for that?
I think the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which in the, at this point I think includes the television universe, even though they sort of keep one another at arm's distance, I think the fans are the same. I think at Comic-Con, Marvel movies and Marvel TV just brings people.
Yeah.
So maybe I won't even try for Twin Peaks, and I will go to see our friends and other people at the Horton Grand Female Voices of Film Twitter.
At 3,
what else do you have? Oh, go ahead.
At 3:30, there's a panel on the new Disney XD reboot of DuckTales, and I'm pretty interested to go to that too, but that seems like one that might be pretty full, just because I don't know. I feel like that one might be popular, and so that room might fill up. But I would love to go like see some of the new stuff from the show.
Yeah, we haven't talked much about TV. There's also the Gifted is in Baltimore 20, which is Fox's new TV series. That's essentially an X-Men TV series. It's part of the X-Men universe. But I think, like, I didn't watch Legion, but I think Legion was also technically part of the universe, but didn't really cross over much. Whereas this, from what I understand, The Gifted will be much more, what's the word I'm looking for? Explicitly part of the X-Men movie universe. To switch to comics, if you don't mind, unless you have more.
No, let's talk about comics for Friday.
So there's the DC Universe Rebirth panel, which is the most recent reboot slash retcon slash realigning of the universe, is at 11:15. But the one, there's the Marvel Secret Empire panel, which now normally I find the Q&As at panels to be excruciating because people ask a lot of dumb questions and they ramble on about things that aren't questions, that are just, they just want to hear themselves talk. But I think given how controversial the Secret Empire story has been, I think you've got some potential for fireworks in the Q&A at the Marvel Secret Empire panel. And part of me wants to go just to gawk.
So this Secret Empire, is that the one where Captain America becomes an agent of Hydra?
Yes. I mean, that's a very shorthand way of saying it. it's in true comics fashion, it's actually far more complex than that.
Yeah, of course.
Basically, the Red Skull tricked Captain America into thinking that he had been an undercover Hydra agent all along. And so now Captain America has taken over Hydra, I guess. I'm behind, but I think that's what's... anyway, but given that, basically, if people haven't followed the controversy, given that Hydra has traditionally been so aligned with the Nazis, given that, you know, Red Skull is a German, officer, and it stems from World War II. So Hydra is aligned with Nazis, making Captain America a Nazi, which is jumping a couple of, you know, jumping from A to D in a way, but that's what people are doing, at a time when we've seen an actual resurgence of white supremacy. and white nationalism in America has pissed a lot of people off. I mean, I think because they did a Secret Empire one shot as part of the Free Comic Book Day, and I saw like videos on my Twitter feed of people like lighting their Secret America comic on fire. Jesus. Or Secret Empire comic on fire, because yeah, people are really, really pissed about this this storyline right now. So it could make for a fiery Q&A. Hopefully not literally.
Yeah, hopefully not. A couple of other panels on Friday that I have highlighted here. There's at 4:30. There's two that I have highlighted that I kind of want to see equally. There's a panel on artificial intelligence, and then there's a panel also on design and technology for film and television. So, and one of the folks who's going to be on that panel, I guess both of them are working on the new Star Trek series. So they'll be talking about presumably like doing the art direction for that.
At 3 p.m. there's Dave Gibbons in conversation. Dave Gibbons is the comic artist who did Watchmen, among other things. And at 7, again, pretty late for a Friday, I'm hungry by that point, but there's the reunion of the Buffy the Vampire Slayer art department, which is like so specific. Yeah. That a Buffy geek, a Buffy stan like me might not be able to avoid, because 2017 is of course the 20th anniversary of the premiere of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
There's a Tolkien panel at 5 o'clock with the folks who run the OneRing.net, which is, you know, like the Lord of the Rings, the Hobbit fan website and community. And so they do stuff every year. And this one is off-site. This is at the Marriott Marquis San Diego Marina. So you might have to walk a little bit to get to that one. But, you know, that might be fun. Later that night, so the Scream Factory panel, Shout Factory panel is going to be at 8 o'clock, which I'm definitely going to be at. And what's cool about that is Bill Hunt, who writes the Digital Bits website, is going to be hosting or, you know, moderating the conversation between Brian Ward and Jeff Nelson, who are there every year talking about what they're working on. But it'll be nice to have Bill there kind of talking about it, because in the past they've done home video related panels at Comic-Con, you know, with people talking about, you know, new and exclusive news and showing off restoration footage and whatnot. So I'm excited to hear them all talk about what they're working on. And then after that, there's, at the same time, there's the Worst Cartoons Ever that Jerry Beck puts on every year, which is fun, but also they are very much the worst cartoons ever. And then after that, there's the festival, the Spike and Mike Sick and Twisted Festival of Animation at 9:30, and that's always kind of
go to that.
it can be fun, but it also can be very annoying, mostly because of the audience.
Yeah.
But then there's the Twin Peaks screening of episode 11 that night too.
Yeah, and I'm torn. Like, my wife was like, you should just go. But I'm like, we're watching this show together.
Yeah, you can.
Like, I have to come home Sunday and watch this episode with you. That's sacred. So I don't think I'm going to go, because I think I want to preserve the viewing experience that I've had for the previous, you know, weeks leading up to this. What are you going to go?
No, I'm not going to go. I'm not caught up to episode 11 yet. Oh. So we're still several episodes behind. We're just kind of watching it at a leisurely pace.
Well, you got time.
I do.
I mean, it'll be a mind-altering thing to mainline at this point, but you've got time.
Yeah. So Saturday, there is in the morning, they're doing a Boomerang Saturday Morning Cartoons panel, which sounds awesome to me just because I miss Saturday morning cartoons, and I would love to hear them geek out about it. But also then at 11:30, there is our friends at the Warner Archive, from the Warner Archive, are doing another panel, this time Monsters from Hell, where they're going to be talking with the guys who run the Trailers from Hell website. And they've done this before in the past, where they, show off kind of what they're working on, talk about some movies, and maybe reveal some titles of things that they're working on too. So I'm definitely going to be at this one.
Yeah, that's definitely the first thing on my list as well. But there's also, I mean, not that I'm not going to camp out for all Hall H. It's just crazy. But there's a 2-hour Warner Brothers panel.
Yeah.
Which the things they're listing are that they're going to be talking about are Ready Player One and Blade Runner 2049 and Justice League and Aquaman. But there will probably be a few other things dropped in there. But you know, if they do the way Warner Brothers did last year, every bit of footage they show, they will post online within seconds.
Yeah.
Like I watched the Wonder Woman trailer at the bar at the Indigo, like at the Hilton Bayfront, you know, 30 seconds after all my friends watched it in Hall H last year.
I know that they want to fight the piracy element of it, but
yeah.
It's so frustrating to wait in lines only to have or to sit through panels and kind of help promote what's going on. And I've mentioned this in the past with the Scream Factory panels where I'm racing their social media person to try to tweet out all of the stuff that they're talking about. And at some point, that feels so frustrating because I was well, why did I even sit here if you're going to just reveal everything? I could have just been following you on Twitter and I could be eating dinner right now and not really have to sit through this.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Although, last year, and I don't know if they'll keep it up this year, but Marvel Studios, on the other hand, showed footage and didn't release it. I mean, I think there's footage, there might be footage they shown that they might not have released yet. I'm not sure.
Yeah, wasn't there?
Because I wasn't there.
Guardians of the Galaxy, didn't they? They showed off stuff that never ended up getting released. I think until they had a final trailer.
That sounds right.
Yeah,
yeah. So yeah, I guess that's two different ways of doing it.
I guess I like the exclusive aspect of actually physically going to these things and.
Absolutely.
Being the one to share them, you know, as going as press, they have to kind of, I know it's tricky because there's so many people who want to go who can't go, you know, because they can't get the tickets or whatever. And so they want to share this with the world, but let us help you. We're going there to help. Let us right. help.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And since we're talking about Marvel, they're at the end of the day. And the thing that has caught people's attention is that for the first time, their panel is 90 minutes.
Is it usually
it's
only
an hour?
It's only
past.
An hour, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but based on the, I guess you've got Infinity War coming up, and then based on the banners, that you've seen go up. I don't know if you are as much of a nerd as me. If you follow when the banners go up in the Gaslamp District on the light poles.
I have had people message me about the Black Panther banners.
It's there's Thor Ragnarok and there's Black Panther banner. Uh-huh. So I imagine that means both of those films will be promoted there. But then we over on Battleship Retention, the episode hasn't posted yet, but we had our friend Jermaine Lucier from IO9 and Gizmodo on, and he talked about this is the 10th annual Marvel Studios panel, Hall H panel.
Some of it's
going to be a retrospective.
Uh-huh. So 10 years ago was when they did the Iron Man panel. Is that what it was?
I guess so. I wasn't there. I was at Comic-Con, but I wasn't in the room for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that makes sense.
But you're not going to be, you're not going to hang out in Hall H all day.
I mean, unless there's some sort of miracle, I don't see myself camping out all night. Especially since there's so much other cool stuff on Saturday, including... I guess this is getting us away from movies a little bit, but I'm very excited about the Archie Comics panel because the Archie Comics panel last year was one of my favorite panels that I saw. Everybody got a free Betty and Veronica issue one variant cover. this year, and they promoted the Riverdale show a little bit, which I don't care about. I'm not watching. I like the comics. I don't read Jughead. I read Archie, and I read Betty and Veronica, and I read Sabrina right now. And Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa, who writes The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, is going to be there. And Ryan, I don't know if you've had time, but The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina might be the best comic currently going. It is so up my alley, and it's so great what Archie Comics has let Roberto Aguirre Sacasa get away with, because it's super fucking dark and really macabre. I want to be at this panel just to celebrate Sabrina and how much I love that book right now.
There are a few other panels in the middle of the day on Saturday. Like there's a Westworld panel that doesn't seem like it's an official like Westworld show panel, but it's mostly just talking about the legal questions surrounding the show, like the world of the show. You know, like what does it mean to have like a place like Westworld where you would go do horrible things? That's interesting to me. And then there's also things like the Marvel Animation panel, and there's a Sid and Marty Krofft panel, and a few other ones. There's like this Kaiju Kingdom podcast panel, which sounds like it might be fun, and a panel about Wally Wood. And I think there's also like there's one that I have starred called Everyone's a Critic, Becoming and Being a Journalist in the Online Age.
Oh, right.
Which is interesting just because I think this is mostly geared towards like comic journalists online, but it seems written, like the description seems like it's kind of general about, you know, just being a journalist online, which sounds, you know, like kind of competing with the Masters of the Web panel, but this almost sounds more interesting for me. So I might go to this one too.
The other super starred, underlined, and highlighted thing for me on Saturdays at the end of the day, it's at 6 p.m., it's the Bold Voices of Contemporary Horror panel, which I went to last year. They've done it for a few years. Last year was the first year I went. And I'm glad looking at the panelists, because the Q&A got a little spicy last year during this panel because of the fact that we were looking at a panel for those. Sorry, I should say what the panel is. It's basically young up and coming indie horror directors talking about the state of horror cinema. And last year, all the panelists were white men, and that became kind of a point of contention. So here you've got a couple of women, Meta Marie Kongsved, and you've got Mariana Palka, who made the movie Bitch, that I haven't seen yet. I think I have a screening coming up in August after Comic-Con. And it's moderated by the aforementioned Jen Yamato. So it feels like the lessons of last year's Q&A were specifically addressed here, and this will be a panel that includes a woman's point of view on modern or rather contemporary horror. So I'm very much looking forward to that. And Elijah Wood's going to be there.
On the website, they have updated it, and it seems like Amy Nicholson is actually going to be moderating it. This time
that has the app has not been updated. I'm looking at the app.
Yeah.
I know Amy, and that'll go great.
Well, hopefully I'll go to that too, and then we can go get sushi afterwards.
Yes, that is a Battleship Retention Criterion cast tradition. We get sushi every Saturday night at an undisclosed location. we don't want the paparazzi showing up. We're not going to say where we go.
And we're always joined by more people than I like.
Last year ended up being okay, but there was one year when we invited one other person and he invited eight other people, and it became a thing.
Yeah.
Another thing that I like to call attention to every year, even though I won't be in Hall H because it's too much of a hassle, but the Women Who Kick Ass panel is a thing that Entertainment Weekly has done every year. I went to the first couple, and then I stopped trying to get into the big rooms. The first one ever was in Ballroom 20, not Hall H. This year, it's instead of a panel of women, it's just Charlize Theron, which is interesting. Hopefully, she talks about issues, which is what the panel is about, women's issues in genre film. And hopefully, she doesn't just plug Atomic Blonde the entire time, which is clearly like why Universal is paying for her to be there. And then there's also at the end of the day at 6:30, I guess I won't go because I'll be in the horror panel, but there's the I think they're showing the pilot of a Future Man, which is a new Hulu show brought to you by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. Is that his name?
Yeah, the guys who are doing Preacher right now.
Yes. And Future Man stars Josh Hutcherson from the Hunger Games, and Eliza Coop from Happy Endings. The panel is moderated by Paul Scheer, and also the show also stars. I guess they've shot a bunch of it, or shot the first 13 or whatever, and it starred Glenn Headley, who recently passed away. So I'd be curious if anyone goes to that to find out if there's a talk of that or any sort of tribute or anything. But that's a show that seems interesting to me, so I thought it was worth pointing out. So yes, Sunday. I've got nothing to say about Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday is a day that is typically like I will highlight a bunch of panels that I'm interested in, but inevitably like I don't go for very long. I'll probably bring Miranda with me that day, and she probably won't have the patience to sit through any like super nerdy panels. There is a Steven Universe Art and Origins panel where they're going to be talking about the new Art of Steven Universe book that's coming out, which I'm very excited about. And then there is an Image Comics panel at 1:45 where they're going to be talking about some new, you know, upcoming projects that they're working on.
There's a spotlight on Paul Dini in the morning at 10 a.m. I once rode the train back from Comic-Con to Los Angeles sitting next to Paul Dini in first class the entire time, and I didn't say a word to him. when I told Tyler, my co-host, on Battleship Retention, that he was pissed that I didn't give him a car to try to get him on the show. And there's also, as far as TV, there's Mr. Mercedes, the new Stephen King TV series, and it's in a small room. I don't know if they're showing anything, but Jack Bender, who is a storied veteran TV director, is going to be there to present it. So that could be interesting. But also, that's at 1:30, and I'm probably grabbing some lunch and getting on the road at that point. Yeah. I'm probably Comic-Con'd out by midday on Sunday.
I guess the last couple of things that I've highlighted for Sunday are the Hanna-Barbera 60th anniversary panel that Jerry Beck will be hosting. And then there's a panel on science and science fiction. It's not the one that they've done before in the past, like the science of science fiction, like those official ones, but it is a bunch of scientists talking about, fiction. But that is like kind of like the very last thing of the day, and I probably won't be at Comic-Con at that point either. But I think it's worth highlighting.
Yeah, I've always wanted to go to one of the, speaking of the end of the day on Sunday, I've always wanted to go to one of the Comic-Con talkback panels, which is where you can register your complaints directly to the people who run Comic-Con. I'm sure they're fascinating. I wish they would record them and release them. But they do them at WonderCon too. But in every case, by that point, I am already home.
Yeah, as I go through Comic-Con, I always think, like, have a mental list of like, oh, these are all the things that they should do, and I should go tell them all these things, and then I never do as well. All I really want from them to start implementing at some point is traffic lanes for people walking. Like, I know that would be really hard to enforce, but they've kind of done it with the whole, like, you can only enter this way and you can only exit this way in upstairs. I wish they had like lanes of traffic for the floor itself, so you could walk through and not have just like a crazy mass of people going every direction, because it just gets out of hand. But I know it would be like, you know, it would fall apart quickly probably.
I mean, yeah, and you say that, but in, you know, because in the moment it's frustrating, but in retrospect, isn't that part of the fun?
I mean, I don't think I could ever call it fun. I mean, I think it would be more fun if I could just get across the hall and not have to worry about like getting squished between people along the way.
Yeah, I do. You, of course. I mean, you've been, how many Comic-Cons is this for you?
I feel like we have this conversation every year and I can never remember. And then it's like, I think, so like 92 was the first year that I went. And so this is like maybe 26 now at this point. But I always do the math wrong for that.
I think that's, yeah, I guess that would be 26 Comic-Cons. Yeah. Because 25 years, but counting both. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you definitely remember, and I remember because this is my 12th. I remember what the show floor was like in 2006 and how much easier it was to navigate. I'm sure in 1992, it was even better.
So, David, yeah. Is there anything else going on outside of the convention center that, you know, is maybe Comic-Con adjacent? Not like, you know, an official thing, but other stuff that's going on that you are excited to, you know, go see or do? I guess, like, you know, things like the, you know, there's always like the Walking Dead thing where you like get chased by zombies.
Yeah, and there's supposed to be a cool Blade Runner offsite or activation as they're technically known. And there's the tick thing where I think you can like, there's like a giant tick head and you can like take turns going in and like controlling the facial expressions and the antenna on this giant tick head. And there'll also be like screening the pilot on repeat all weekend there. I'm trying to think what else. Last year, I feel like they went overboard. Not they, but people went overboard in terms of like, you could have had a full convention and never set foot inside the convention center last year mm-hmm. because they had Nerd HQ and they had Carnival and they had the Comic-Con HQ and they had the whatever the Entertainment Weekly one was called, which no one went to because it was a million miles away. And last year it was so humid that no one wanted to walk all the way to the Embarcadero to go to the Entertainment Weekly thing, but it was like mini conventions all over, and they've like that's definitely been scaled back. Like the Nerdist Carnival will still be there, but Nerd HQ is not, and Entertainment Weekly is not. And I'm not sure if I think Comic Con HQ is still doing something, but so there's nothing really like that. Except I have one thing that has changed in my life, Ryan, since last year's Comic Con, is I've become a big fan of True TV's The Impractical Jokers. I don't know if you've watched these guys.
No.
This like show, it's like this prank show where they like I didn't watch it for so long because I was like, I don't like pranks. I don't like prank shows. But then I watched it and realized like, oh, the unsuspecting person isn't the victim. It's these guys trying to embarrass each other. And now I'm upset. I've seen every episode multiple times. It's like the perfect like, oh, there's six of these on in a row. I guess I can just lay here on the couch and laugh for six in a row. So there is the Impractical Jokers block party. I think that's on Saturday. We'll see. I might stop by that to see my prankster heroes.
That sounds fun. Earlier today, I got
How about you? Any offsite?
Well, the one thing, a couple of things. There is the folks at Laika, the animation studios, are going to be having some kind of experience thing going on at the convention center. It's going to be in the Gas Lamp. I'm trying to find the email that I got for it. But it's at 520 Fifth Avenue. And it's, you know, where you can see like sets that they've built and puppets and props and things from all of their movies. They're also going to be having like exclusive Nike shoes because, you know, Phil Knight, or, you know, because it's, you know, they're so connected with Nike. That's something that I kind of want to go in to check out at some point over the weekend. I guess that is, it's starting, you know, this, I guess tomorrow or today as we're recording this in the middle of the night, they're doing it early, so you can go before Comic-Con actually starts to go see it.
Oh, wow.
And then earlier today, there was an email from some kind of like obscure press folks, but they're going to be doing a home video event experience thing at the Hard Rock Cafe just across the street from or the Hard Rock Hotel in the lobby, and they're going to be showing off like virtual reality and ultra high definition Blu-ray stuff and you know, those kinds of things. So that might be fun to go check out. They're talking about like the future of home entertainment is the way that they're pitching it, and it's going to be available from 11 to 6 on Friday and 10 to 6 on Saturday. So, but I'd imagine that that's one of those things where you can kind of just like go in and check it out whenever at any point during the day.
Yeah. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, so that's definitely something that I'm gonna make time for at some point. Well, David, it is late and we
Well,
have
that's,
recorded
yeah.
quite a bit. So thank you so much for joining me tonight, everyone. Please follow David on Twitter. Why don't you tell everyone your Twitter handle right now?
It's at Davey Pretension. That's Davey with an EY.
And that's where they can find all of your Comic-Con happenings over the weekend.
Yeah, and at battleshippretension.com.
And
And on Snapchat, but I probably won't. I'm bad at Snapchat. I probably won't do anything.
well,
Plus, it's tough. Like, video's tough. Like, mobile video from Comic-Con is tough because you've got 130,000 people trying to use the Wi-Fi, and
yeah.
it takes forever to do anything video.
Yeah, it's like you turn off the Wi-Fi and try to use your cell connection, but even that is just under this immense load from everyone around you.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have links in the show notes to everything, the panels that we talked about, or at least the schedule, and then I'll put links in the show notes to where you can follow David and I at Comic-Con. And indefinitely, if you're going and you're a film nerd and you want to get a drink, come to our meetup. It will be so much fun to talk about movies with you.
Yeah.
All right, David. Well, thanks so much, and see you at Comic-Con.